the Indiana State Fair. 17 days of exhibits, entertainment, rides, and of course, food. This hour, a virtual visit to the fair to talk about all of those things and just what makes the fair something that'll bring a crowd expected to top 1 million to descend upon the fairgrounds this year. We'll even do a little wine talk. New at the fair this year, the Wine Garden. That's today on All In. I'm Matt Telser. Coming up, we'll talk with State Fair Director of Communications Sharon Smith to get an overview. Reporter Jill Sheridan visits with some 4-H'ers. And I'll check in with our arts and culture reporter Jill Dittmeyer, who has the scoop on everything you'll want to consider for your visit to the fair. Also, have you ever wondered where some of those food vendors come from? I'll talk with the matriarch of a Hoosier family who's been feeding fairgoers since the 1930s. First, this news. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Welcome to August. The Indiana State Fair starts tomorrow and runs through the 18th. More than 2 weeks of family fun, which makes 38th and Fall Creek even busier than usual. Joining us is Director of Communications for the fair, Sharon Smith. Sharon, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Are you getting enough sleep?
Trying to get some Z's in before the wonderful opening day and opening weekend.
And I understand tomorrow, opening day, there's an awful lot on the plate.
There sure is. So this year, Music for All Band Day is on Friday instead of Saturday. So it's a great time to come out and watch over 40 bands compete to be named the state's best marching band. So that's going on in the grandstand. The free stage, always a popular attraction for fairgoers. It's free with paid admission, and tomorrow night's entertainment is KISS founding member Ace Frehley. He'll be on the free stage at 7:30. So those are just some of the things going on in the first day. There's so much happening.
with 17 days, there's a lot going on, and that's just day one. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't address the issue of security. I mean, obviously, a terrible tragedy in California over the weekend. Open-air public events like this are challenging to design safety plans for a number of reasons, I'm sure. But we know that safety, of course, is a top priority of visitors to the state fair and, of course, the people running it like yourself.
Yes, safety and security of our guests is front and center for us year-round. So we do have a carefully thought-out comprehensive emergency operations plan. It's a plan that we test regularly and we train regularly. We work the plan so that we're comfortable with it. It's a guideline for us that identifies and assigns responsibility to specific departments and individuals who will meet the challenges if we are posed with an incident, really of all levels, including a high-level emergency or disaster situation.
So this is one of your busiest weeks of the year. And then once you get into the fair, I'm sure that the roar just kind of becomes normal, right?
Well, opening weekend is always exceptional. You know, there's so much interest, especially when we have good weather, and great weather is predicted. So we're so excited about that. But the excitement carries through the 18th, and it is something to behold. If you've never been, you've got to make it to the state fair.
So take us through the fair this year. As we walk around, what's different?
So in addition to the usual agricultural exhibits, which everyone knows about, we've got carnival rides on the midway, 2 roller coasters. Of course, you'll find a lot of Hoosier pride out here, a lot of competitions happening that tie back to 4-H. So there's a lot of buildings that are filled with everything from art to produce. But this year's theme is Heroes in the Heartland, and this will allow us throughout the 17 days to celebrate Hoosier heroes. So everything from farmers to police officers, firefighters, teachers, members of our military, or, you know, your own personal hero. That might be your mom, your dad, your grandparent. We are lifting up cultural heroes every day at the Indiana State Fair during our daily parade. So we have parades happening on Tuesdays and Saturdays at 1 p.m. and every other day during the fair at 6:30 p.m. So a lot of Hoosiers will be recognized in different roles each day during the fair. You know, we're trying to balance the fact that we're uplifting heroes daily with the fact that we're also bringing in superheroes. Both DC and Marvel characters will be present here on the grounds, and it's a fun way for us to celebrate those sorts of heroes as well. So we're talking about Batman, Black Panther, Wonder Woman, Iron Man, everyone that you recognize from the big screen.
Is there anything that you're careful not to change about the fair? Like, has the fair ever tried something that was perhaps just too out there for fairgoers and maybe you heard about it?
Well, what we never want to lose sight of is our dedication to agriculture. And that's one thing that we always try to balance. You know, there are so many acts that want to come and perform, but we want to balance the fact that at our essence, we celebrate Indiana agriculture and Indiana farmers. So we pay close attention to the fact that one of our key components to the fair is education. So whether it's a little hands on the farm where young ones can go through the exhibit and learn where their food comes from.
Well, let's get to the food. The taste of the fair is one reason lots of people go, and I recall really enjoying the winner of this contest a few years back, or maybe it was just a contender. In my mind, it should have been the winner. The garbage burger, a pork burger with barbecue pulled pork on top. Delicious. There are 22 entries in this year's Taste of the Fair contest. What are some of your favorites? Are you even allowed to pick favorites?
Well, you know, I try to sample as much as I can.
Well, I mean, that's a rough
job.
Without
going overboard, but I'm really excited about a couple of them for sure. The buffaloed fries should be really, really popular. So that's a jumbo plate of French fries topped with white meat chicken, creamy cheddar, cheese sauce, buffalo hot sauce, blue cheese, ranch dressing, and real bacon. That sounds really yummy. We also have the bison hush puppies. Red Fraser Bison won last year, and this year they are making hush puppies from cornmeal batter, jalapeno, and Red Fraser Bison. So they are folks that sell bison as a meat product, so they always incorporate bison meat into their Taste of the Fair food item.
Well, one that really caught my eye, back to the pork thing, maybe it's just because I have Indiana pork farmers in my family, the Indiana pork barbecue split. Served like a banana split. You got three scoops, pulled pork, macaroni and cheese, coleslaw. Don't forget the pickle. That's like the banana and the banana split. Points for creativity, right?
Well, and we're told by Indiana Pork that this is a very healthy portion. So it's $9. It serves like a dinner meal, and it's heavy. It actually comes in a banana split type of boat, plastic boat. So it's easy to kind of walk around. It's probably going to be a very, very popular item.
A few items in the running are playing on the Heroes in the Heartland theme, and this will be the last thing we say about food, but I can't get enough of the food. Monroe's Big Dog Diner is offering up a classic Indiana breaded tenderloin with cheese, bacon, sassy sauce, whatever that is. They probably won't tell us. Also, the American Hero from RES Food and Drink. You and I were talking on the phone about that one a little bit the other day. And then for dessert, the Trifecta Hero Dreamsicle, which is a delightful hybrid shake-up slushy and vanilla milkshake. Are they trying to win us over with the hero theme?
Yeah. So several folks obviously wanted to take advantage of the theme and tie into it, which is great. I've honestly heard a couple of people who have sampled that Dreamsicle shake-up that it is so refreshing, so delicious. That's going to be a winner, too.
So I guess if you leave the fair hungry, you're not doing it right.
You're not doing it right if your stomach's growling on the way out.
Sharon Smith, Director of Communications at the Indiana State Fair, good luck as we start the fair tomorrow, and thanks so much for coming on All In.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Speaking of food, let's talk to one of the actual vendors, Cheryl Reese. Welcome to All In.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Cheryl, you're an owner and manager of Carousel Food, Inc., your involvement at the fair goes way back. What's the history there?
Well, my grandfather and his dad and aunts and uncles and great aunts and uncles have been coming here since about the 30s.
And so it's a family affair since the 30s.
That's correct, yes.
Where are you
all
from?
We're all over the fairgrounds. We're from Corydon, Indiana.
Oh, yeah, beautiful down there. I was in Corydon last...
First state capital.
Yeah, the first state capital. I was just down there last summer. So how many vendors are you going to be having at the fair this year? I guess a few.
Well, we have ourselves, there's six of us. I have two nephews, our son, and then myself and my husband and my brother and sister-in-law, we have three stands. And then, like I say, cousins and everybody all around the grounds, but personally six.
So what kind of food do you have? Do you have an elephant ear stand and a hot dog stand? What are we talking here?
Well, we have one funnel cake stand. That would be our son's. And he also sells orange age shakeups. And then we have turkey leg pork chop stand. We have a pizza stand. My other nephew has a kettle corn with chocolate-covered popcorns and, like, hot wing popcorn, that type thing. And then our other nephew has the deep-fried Snickers, Oreos, all that type stuff.
So just all the classic fair food. I mean, how many other fairs do you hit up in the summertime? I'm sure we see you guys around a lot.
Well, we only do five fairs. This is the first one of the summer. We don't go out in the summer. We actually start now. We leave here and we go to Minnesota, and then we got about a month and a half, and we go to the South Carolina State Fair. In the winter, we do the Florida State Fair and the Florida Strawberry Festival.
So what's the newest offering, perhaps a new truck or a type of food that you're offering?
Right now, the donut burger. I didn't tell you about my donut burger stand.
Well, yeah. How does something like that even come into existence? Was it mad science?
Actually, we actually heard about it. There was a ball field out in St. Louis that sold them. And my dad thought it was crazy. My husband thought it was crazy at first. And he's like, well, we might as well try it because our son told us to try it. And the minute we started it, it just took off like gangbusters. They didn't think I was going to do anything. So I was on a little bitty 2-foot by 2-foot grill. And the first day that I did it, I went through 150 dozen donuts at the Florida State Fair. That was the first place that we ever tried. And it's been our biggest seller ever since.
And I've tried one. I thought it was crazy, too. But once you try it, you're like, I see how this works.
Yeah, it's the sweet and the salty together. It really works well together. So
now we're looking at about 1 million people to visit the fair this year, which doesn't even account for the weather, which so far looks great. How do you even begin to prepare to help feed that many people? I mean, how much inventory do you have to make sure you're stocked up on?
Well, usually on the donuts, I try to have at least 150 dozen always on the truck. Weekends more. You need to have 3 to 4 cases. You're talking about 240 pound of burger. Turkey legs, a lot of those too, because we go through a lot of turkey legs. You know, kind of over the years, you just know what you need.
So what are you most looking forward to about this year's fair?
Hopefully cooler weather and not any storms. We don't want any storms if we can get by with it.
I can't imagine being on a hot food truck in early August in Indiana. I would imagine cooler weather would be awfully nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, let me tell you, I remember a few years where it was like the whole fair, it was like 100, the heat index was in the hundreds. And it was like day on end. It was the hottest fair I ever have worked. It was back in the early 90s, and it was really miserable. So cool weather is definitely a plus for us.
Cheryl Reese from Corydon, Indiana, owner and manager of Carousel Food, Inc. We'll see you at the fair.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
And more from the fair coming up next with reporter Jill Sheridan. She's going to focus on the 4-H'ers and all the work they do throughout the year, the best of the best of which gets featured at the State Fair. I'm Matt Pelser. Back to the Indiana State Fair in 2 minutes. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. The Indiana State Fair starts tomorrow and runs through the 18th. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Jill Sheridan went out to the Indiana State Fair yesterday as 4-H students were setting up the exhibit halls. The youth working through the Purdue University's Extension Program are involved in a myriad of projects, many that promote an interest in STEM subjects. She spoke with student leaders who were helping set up, including Camilla Valentin.
When did you first become involved in 4-H? Wow. Okay, so I first became involved in 4-H when I lived in Puerto Rico. My first memory of 4-H was a coffee bean scavenger hunt, but I wasn't yet in 4-H because I was too young. When I moved to the United States, I began 4-H as a clover bud, and I'm a 10-year member.
Obviously, 4-H, big presence in the state of Indiana, big presence at the Indiana State Fair. What were some of your favorite memories, you know, working through the state fair here?
Because you're working as an exhibit hall worker, you get to see things that you wouldn't as someone just visiting the fair. You get to see the projects in a deeper way. You see them almost every day, and you find something new in them, and you see the creativity that people put into their work. You also get to see all the people behind the scenes who put their heart and soul into the Indiana State Fair, and it's not just another job for them.
Now we're here over by the exhibit halls. Hi. And I always bring my family in the exhibit halls. First off, what's your name?
My name is Samantha Morgan.
Exhibit crew leader here, and she's a student over at Purdue. Just how many different offerings there are for 4-H'ers here?
There's so many. You can do things in the exhibit halls. You can go watch different presentations that we do. There's different cattle show, or animal shows, really. There's something different every day, and even on 4-H day, there's a bunch of different things that kids can do. We have public speaking demonstrations and fashion review. There's endless things for kids or people to come find and see.
Samantha, what has been some of your favorite memories participating with 4-H here?
For the fair specifically, it's the people that I've met and all the experiences that I've had with them, like hanging out as friends. I know a bunch of them go to Purdue with me now. I'm in band with a couple of them. One of them is going to join my sorority in the spring. I love seeing everybody every year and being able to come from all different parts of the state and coming together in one space where we don't have to drive 6 hours to hang out for a couple hours. 4-H as a whole has opened me up for so many experiences and meeting so many new people.
And we're going to bring in Tony Carell. You're the 4-H Youth Development Manager.
4-H Extension Specialist with the 4-H Youth Development Program at Purdue University.
You know, I think probably a lot of people have the misconception that, you know, 4-H is just showing animals. And that is certainly just the tip.
Absolutely. And, you know, for myself, I was never in 4-H because I lived in even though I lived in a rural community, you know, when the 4-H leader came around to ask if I wanted to join 4-H, Dad would always say no because we didn't live on a farm. And even today, that is still a misconception that 4-H is all about animals. And we have in the 4-H exhibit hall and in the agriculture horticulture building, we have over 45 different project areas or subject matters that youth can learn about 4-H. Everything from rockets to woodworking to crafts. We also have, you know, some of the traditional sewing and home environment. We also have, you know, forestry and wildlife, and there's just a plethora of things that youth can learn from. And a lot of counties will even have a project called Create Your Own. And so if you want to learn about something that you haven't seen yet, you can learn about that. In the aerospace project, we also, you know, you're going to see some drones this year. We're going to have some robotics demonstrations that are going to be going on. There's a makers area down in the lower level of Centennial Hall where youth can come in and use their engineering skills and their creativity to take what's there and just be creative to build. There's also an archaeological dig where we're going to have fossils buried in some corn. And so as youth go through and dig around in the corn, they're able to find these fossils, and then we can match it up with some of the geological exhibits that we have there at the fair in the 4-H area. And hopefully we can generate some excitement among the families so that when their children get old enough to be in 4-H, that you know, we have a place for them to learn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find out where that is because we for sure want to dig through the corn. But what else is new happening this year? I know a lot of these initiatives are newer, and it's growing every year.
One of the new things that's going to be going on is our 4-H Clover Gaming activity. They're going in, and in fact, fairgoers can come out twice to learn about that. Once on Saturday, August the 10th, and that will take place in the Farm Bureau building, and it's going to be part of our Experience 4-H at the Indiana State Fair. We're going to have about 20 different tables for youth and families to go around, and there will be items there related to engineering and technology, related to STEM, related to healthy living, and just lots of different activities for them to do. And all those activities are going to be led by 4-H'ers from across the state of Indiana.
About how many 4-H'ers from across the state participate in the activities leading up to the fair?
Well, we have about 60,000 students that are enrolled in our 4-H Club and Project program, where they're learning all year round from volunteer leaders. But overall, we really have over 150,000 youth who are involved in our 4-H program at some point, whether it be a one-time experience or several experiences throughout the year. So it's in fact, it is the largest youth development program in the state of Indiana.
4-H organizations are actually growing more in the urban areas. I mean, we have schools that are requesting 4-H clubs in their school in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne because they really want to connect.
And right here, Camilla is a prime example of urban 4-H and how it's getting into charter schools and other schools here in the urban area.
What do you think that, you know, youth can really be able to take away from these types of programs?
What I think is a misconception, what we've been saying, is that it's only based off agriculture and that you need to live on a farm to actually reap the benefits from 4-H, but that's just not true. 4-H has multiple faces to it. It's about developing skills that will help you throughout your lifetime. It's about learning to be a leader, learning when to take a step back, when to work as part of a unit, part of a team, being willing to work for your community in multiple different ways. And it's something that I actually put into my school. I went to Heron High School, which is a charter school, and I started my own 4-H club. It was called Latinx Youth Coalition because it was about learning about different cultures in Latin America. So that's an example of something that maybe people would be like, oh, that doesn't sound like a 4-H club. But a 4-H club is whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you need it to be. And it just gives people that opportunity to keep learning more about whatever interests them.
It's got to be really special, Tony, you know, working with all these youth and really seeing them reap the benefits.
Oh, absolutely. It's special for me in that the Indiana State Fair allows me to hire about 60 youth to be here to help manage the exhibits. And we really want to be able to shine and be able to put on display the skills and the talents that youth have learned throughout the year from our 4-H program. And from the non-animal side, we have exhibits in the 4-H Exhibit Hall, 4-H Centennial Hall, and the Agriculture Horticulture Building. And altogether, it's about 10,000 exhibits that we have.
Upstairs is a lot of crafts. So in this floor, we do all of our, like Tony said earlier, we've got an aerospace project. So I think I counted yesterday, and we've got 87 rockets this year, and I saw 6 drones. I've got a 7-foot rocket. I've got rockets that are only like less than a foot long. And then we also have like all of our bug boxes. So kids collect bugs from all around the state and around the country, and then they mount them and pin them in boxes so that you can come see them and see all the hard work that they've put in. So they do moths and other big bugs that I don't particularly like, but they love it, and it's what they enjoy doing.
A lot of woodworking in here?
Yes. We have 3 beds this year. We've got cutting boards and dressers and tables and little things that kids made for their dog bowls, and literally anything they could want to build, they've built and put together.
Oh, wow. Lots of rockets.
A lot of rockets. They all went in cases last night, so they're all put in and not going to be touched again for a while.
I mean, we mentioned, you know, the STEM side of it, and that this really is a good way to get youth involved in, you know, that aspect of learning.
Yeah. I know personally, I never showed an animal in 4-H. I was in 4-H for 10 years, and my mom grew up showing animals, and so did my grandma, but my sister and I never did because we live in city limits, and you can't have animals in city limits. So we did things like leathercraft, where you take a piece of leather and you make like a wallet or a belt. And I did child development, like you talked about earlier, the games that they put together for kids. I did some of those projects, and I did like gardening and herbs, and it really helped like steer me toward what I'm doing with my degree now. So I'm going into environmental science, coming from all of this and seeing what these kids can do. Is I know they're going to go really far in whatever they want to do and do literally anything they put their mind to.
in the building across from this one, I know that we have our sewing section, which is actually one of my favorites. So basically, what it is what it sounds like. Students and 4-H'ers can do any sewing project that they desire. So they have different categories where it can be an outfit, or maybe it's a pillowcase, or maybe it's a quilt. And there's also ones that are specific to a maybe evening out where they make a prom dress, or they just use their own creativity to make what they like. Maybe different regions from where people are from, what fashion they tend to wear, or what they're into, and it also shows the diversity in age, and also craftsmanship and ideas and creativity. People should come out and see just simply because it shows how different we all are. It also shows that no matter what age you are, there's something that you can make yourself and be proud of.
So give me, you know, just a little sample of what we're seeing here.
So right here we're seeing a outfit. It is a yellow shirt and it has lace on it off the shoulder. We also have it paired with some shorts that aren't actually made out of jean material, but they're that same color. They're lightweight and they're very free. They're like a summer vibe.
I like the bear shirt.
Yeah, there's a bear shirt, guys.
It's really cute, too.
So
that's
you can
the
go
best.
From a t-shirt to a full-fledged outfit for a night out. It's very different. It's very refreshing, and I don't know, maybe if you look at the ribbon, you can get in contact with the person who made it and have them make something for you.
Fashion. Love it. Love it. Important work, I think, you guys are doing here. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Let's talk about one of the more informative and certainly sobering exhibits at the fair. I'm joined by the distribution and impact manager of our EVA documentary project, Jessica Chapman. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Matt.
Of course, we can't talk about this without acknowledging Eva's death not even a month ago. How tough has this month been on you?
This has been a really hard month for us, just because, you know, this is a project that we are personally so invested in. I mean, once you get to meet Eva, it's hard not to just be completely blown away with her message and her story and what she's been through, that you really kind of develop a personal connection, especially our team that spent over 2 years creating the documentary. And now we've had over a year working with her for the actual outreach and education program. So we've gotten like a close relationship with her and her family, and it's been hard. But I think at the same time, we also are really excited because we know that Eva's passion was sharing her story and getting her message out there. So we feel like we're in a good place to do that, and it's kind of our responsibility to carry her message forward.
And indeed, she was planning on being at the State Fair, right?
Yes, she was planning on accepting an award actually on August 11th. So right now, Ted Green is going to fill her place, and he's going to do like a brief introduction, and then we are going to play the film in her honor.
Yeah, but when will the film be screened at the fair?
The film will happen at 3 p.m. on August 11th in the Indiana Arts Building.
So the film premiered in the spring of 2018. We aired it last fall. It's won numerous awards. Momentum is still going simply because it's such a great telling of her story. But this experience is really something special, the one at the fair. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so the virtual reality experience is something we developed just out of the idea that Eva was so passionate about sharing her message through giving tours to Auschwitz. And I mean, there's really no experience like that. And I hate to say that this is an exact replication of that experience because it isn't. But we are trying to bring that to students and Hoosiers across the state. So we know not everyone can travel to Auschwitz with Eva, especially at this moment. They can't go with her right now. But we create a virtual reality tour that leads you through 4 different locations at Auschwitz, and she guides you through it. And, I mean, it's very immersive experience, and it's very powerful. At times, it can be difficult to watch. But for students, it puts them in a place that, you know, they could never experience or imagine on their own. I mean, they have a really deep understanding of the seriousness of these topics, and it kind of brings what they're seeing in a film or what they're reading in a book to life. And the best thing I think about this project is how it takes these 360-degree images. So you can look up, down, left, right, and then Eva explains to you what she went through in those moments. And you can kind of just picture yourself at the same time. We also have a little video image that's running along the entire time as she's speaking. So you can see historical photos as you look around and see what it looks like here today. And I think in this aspect, it's one of the most powerful tools we have to show kids that this really did happen. And so we're hoping that people will come out to the state fair, get a glimpse of it, and then help us bring it into your schools in the community.
And it won't be available for fairgoers throughout the entire duration of the fair, right? Just specific days?
Yeah. So the EvaCore exhibit will be available throughout the entire run of the fair. But then this virtual reality tour will just take place from 12 p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. on 5 different days. That'll be August 2nd, 6th, 10th, 11th, and the 17th. And then the Eva big day where they're going to honor her as a hero in the heartland. She is the hero of hope on August 11th. And again, that film is going to screen at 3 o'clock p.m.
Are you personally going to be there guiding people through the experience?
Yes, we will guide you through the experience. We're going to bring out a sample of our VR headsets. We actually are fortunate enough to have 29 VR headsets.
Wow.
So we are able to come out to a school and have an entire classroom at a time go through this virtual reality tour, which is it's pretty unheard of, honestly, to have 29 virtual reality headsets. So we're going to bring about 14 out at a time, and we'll run people through it. We'll talk you through the whole experience, and I think it'll give you a really good understanding of who Eva is and what she went through and how her story of forgiveness, that the power of that after seeing how far she's come.
Yeah, and so opening day tomorrow, it'll be out there and in operation from noon to 6. Jessica Chapman, Distribution and Impact Manager for the EVA Project here at WFYI. Thank you for your work, and thanks for making time for all of it.
Thanks.
Up next, the Suns over the yard arm, Wine Talk with Heather Tallman, Program Manager of Indiana Grown, and a chat with arts and culture reporter and host of Curious Mix, Jill Dittmeyer, who has a great list of things to check out at the fair this year. I'm Matt Pelser. Back in 2 minutes. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Years have gone by since we last had a wine competition at the Indiana State Fair. And now, with so many wineries in the state, as well as distilleries, fair officials decided to showcase the best of Indiana wines and spirits at the new Wine Garden. Jill Sheridan went by the Ag Hort building just outside the Midway to talk with Program Manager of Indiana Grown, Heather Tallman.
So we know that this year there's a pretty big exhibit and a new thing coming to the Indiana State Fair. It's the Wine Garden. And until recently, we weren't able to buy beer and wine from vendors here. But now we're able to showcase beer and wine made in the state of Indiana. Tell us a little bit about what's new then.
So right outside the Agriculture Horticulture building, you're going to see the Indiana State Fair Wine Garden sponsored by Indiana Grown. And in it, you can sample the Indiana wines and whiskeys that were award winners at last weekend's competition. So this is something that used to have. There used to be wine competitions at the State Fair, and then for a few years they didn't have it. They brought it back. So this year, we are a sponsor of both the wine competition and the wine garden. And next Friday, there will be a wine stomp or a grape stomp. So we'll announce the winners of the wine competition while people are stomping grapes. It'll be very fun, very different, very new, and a great way for people to learn about the wines and whiskeys in Indiana, because that's agriculture as well.
Yeah, I mean, breweries, microbreweries, wineries, you know, this is a big business in Indiana.
It really is. And we have an Indiana Grown member wine trail. When we launched it, it only had 27 members on the trail, and now we're at 43, and that was in less than a year's time. So there's definitely an interest from consumers to get out and hit the road and learn what's going on in their state, and there's just a lot to offer here.
What else is new with Indiana Grown in the State Fair this year?
You know, we're pretty excited about just the diversity of what we have in the store. You know, we have body care, we have honey, we have the traditional things that you're often going to see here, but also we have dog treats made from spent IPA beer grain. So that's kind of a neat thing that's made in Indiana. But we feel like this is kind of one-stop shopping for people to learn what's going on all around them, all in one place here in this building.
And speaking of wine, we're back in the studio with our arts and culture reporter, Jill Dittmeyer. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Matt.
We will get to your reporting in just a bit. There's plenty to talk about aside from that. You were one of the wine judges for this year's Toast of the Fair.
I was. I did a lot of spitting. You do a lot of spitting when you judge wines, indeed. And it was quite an exciting afternoon.
Yeah, it's not your first rodeo either. You've done this a lot.
Yeah, I've been a certified wine judge for about 20 years. So I judge wine competitions all over the country. And I used to judge the Indy International Wine Competition, which was the original wine competition that started at the fair in 1990. And it was international. And a few years ago, it moved to Purdue, continued in that international vein. But this year, the State Fair decided they wanted to have an all Indiana wine and Indiana distillers competition, hence the Toast of the Fair.
These are all Indiana wines. I imagine you got to taste a lot of Traminettes?
I did. So they had, exactly. So Traminette is a hybrid varietal, and that's our state grape, the Traminette. So people may have heard of Chardonnay, Vignole, Traminette. They also had vinifera, which people are used to, Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay. There are some people in Indiana that do make those wines. And Native American grapes as well. Concord, which is your soft reds that a lot of people make around the state, Niagara, Catawba, those kind of things. So they were different categories. We didn't know who they were from. We knew what the grape was, and that was it. And so we had to sniff, sip, and spit. But we won't know the winners, nor will anyone else, until tomorrow night, Friday night at 5 o'clock. They're going to be announcing the winners of both the wineries, from the wineries and the distillers here in Indiana, too. There was a separate distillery tasting going on at the same time while we were judging wines that day. And something new this year, there will be a wine garden in the Grand Hall. That's where for the past few years, they've also had the wine and the beer tasting, where people can come in and sit down and purchase a glass of wine and beer and enjoy it.
And there are other places at the fair, as I understand, where wine will be available, not just in the wine garden.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of there's arts and culture at the State Fair. I love the State Fair. And there's plenty of arts and culture there. And near the free stage, there is a bar. And you have a designated area, once again, where you can purchase your alcohol if you're over 21. And you have to sit there. But it's a great spot because you can still see the music on the free stage. And this is one of the greatest things that the fair has added over the past few years. If you pay your admission to get in, you can come virtually every night of the week starting around 7:30 p.m. Everyone from Ace Frehley from Kiss is starting things off on Friday night.
Excellent.
Switchfoot's going to be there. Casey and the Sunshine Band. Boys to Men. And they're wrapping up at the end of the fair run with gospel music from Mary Mary. So it's a fun way. You can sit anywhere. There's some designated seating. Or there's not designated seating. There are benches, picnic tables you can sit on, or sit on the grass. Or a lot of people just dance and listen to the music.
So you can get wine around there. But let's go back to the wine judging real fast. You don't have to name any names. In fact, I know that you won't. But was there anything that really jumped out at you in all of your, you know, decades of experience judging wines? Was there anything this year that really was special?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Indiana wines anyway. There's over 100. There are 100 wineries in Indiana now. And when I first started covering Indiana wines about 20 years ago, there were half that number. So they've just really exploded. One of the rounds that we judged on Friday was dry reds. And we had a Petit Verdot, which is a grape that grows in France and on the West Coast. And somebody here in Indiana is, I don't know that they're growing it, but they're bringing in that juice and making a wine, because the grapes didn't have to be grown in Indiana for this competition. They had to be produced by an Indiana winery.
Gotcha.
Wonderful. And just big, voluptuous, yummy, red, dry red grape. And also a Petite Syrah, which is another kind of, you wouldn't think of those kind of wines being made in Indiana. You would think more of the hybrid grapes or the Native American grapes. So I'm very excited to find out who produced them. I kind of have an idea, but I will be waiting thirstily with everyone else for on you, Friday.
For you to have even an idea is very, it's very impressive to me. So arts and culture, as you said, is your beat. There's no shortage of both at the Indiana State Fair. I love spending time with some of these exhibits at the fair for a number of reasons. First of all, many of them are indoors, so it's a little cooler. And I think the biggest plus is that you don't find the crowds that we're used to seeing at the fair around these arts and exhibits.
And that's good news, bad news. So maybe after hearing this, we'll fill up the arts building
by all means, let's do it.
Yeah. Multi-levels in that arts building, kind of right down in the main drag of the fair. Inside, you're going to find the culinary arts. That's where you're going to find all your cakes, your pies, your cookies, your winners in there. Photography from both amateur and professionals. Fine arts, which is mainly painting, 2D kind of art. Once again, professionals, amateurs entered in that. The needle arts and sewing is in that building as well, along with fashion. You'll find people who, you know, make clothing for all ages, from all ages. Something new this year in association with that, the Indiana Sheep Association is sponsoring the Make It With Wool competition. There
Makes
you go.
Sense.
It's a contest, and they'll also be having a fashion show of the winners on Sunday, August the 4th at 2 p.m. Because a lot of people forget about that fashion is arts as well, too. And there's also then next door to the arts building is the Purdue Extension Agriculture Horticulture Building.
Ag-Hort Building.
Much easier to
say. Yeah, we'll just say
Thank
that.
You. Yes, it's much easier to say. Inside there is this exhibit called the Canstruction Exhibit. And Red Gold Tomato started this the year of the tomato, when the theme was the year of the tomato, maybe 2009. What they do is they donate about 20,000 cans of tomatoes. And you have teams of architects and engineers that get together and they build sculptures out of them. It's fascinating.
Out of tomato
it's
cans.
Completely fascinating. Usually it has to do with the theme related to the theme. So heroes in the heartland. I'm going to expect to see a lot of hero sculptures. But sometimes it's just wacky, wild things. Great thing to see in there. The bee folks are in there. You can sample honey in there, and they usually have demonstrations. The gourd people are in there. You can see the gourds, including the painted gourds, which are fun. The bonsai tree people are in that building. Talk about, you know, interesting art and culture via, you know, from nature. And the cheese sculpture is in the Ag-Hort building.
This may be the most state fair thing I've ever heard.
It is. This is wonderful. Sarah Kaufman, she's been crafting this cheese sculpture for years here and at other fairs, as I understand as well. She's going to reveal her theme and her sculpture on Friday, August the 9th at noon. And that's a good thing because you can smell it. It's real cheese. So it's true culture, I guess you could say.
Oh, look at that. Nice.
I don't know about that.
Arts and culture and culture. I get it. And what's happening in the Pioneer Village? I understand some raconteuring.
Yes. This is another fun place for all ages. You can hear all the art of storytelling. Hoosier storytelling just reigns there. You can get in and the old timers are sitting around sharing stories and talking about their tractors. You can bring the kids. They can make paper quilts. They can make bean beads. The jug band is always there playing. And they also have a home-churned ice cream there as well in the Pioneer Village. And this year, the flavor is brown butter maple swirl.
Oh.
You got to have food at the fair. We know that already.
Oh, we've been talking plenty about food this hour. A number of great competitions going on throughout the fair's duration as well. The draft horses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. And this year, the Budweiser Clydesdales are going to be at the fair multiple days. It's wonderful.
Wow.
So you can literally get up and close and personal with them. They've got their names on their stalls, and they're used to people, and they're massive, and they're beautiful. And they'll take part in the daily parade on specific days. You got to check the website and the calendar for that kind of thing. And then the draft horse show, this is another amazing thing. You know, the competitors come, these 4-H participants from all over the state, little tiny kids behind the reins of these giant, you know, 4 horses, 6 horse kind of things, and then the pony cart exhibition in the Grand Coliseum. It's one of my favorite events, and it's usually towards the end of the fairs when they have that show.
It's a
fun one to see.
Yeah, great way to showcase, you know, what some of these young people are doing, and with 4-H and everything
yes.
as well. It's just really impressive to see what they're able to pull off. And I have some I have some fiddlers in my family, and so I can appreciate the fiddling competition, which I had no idea was happening until today.
Yeah, they have the fiddlers competition. They have a youth talent show. They have a state fair, a state piano competition, and all of that's around the Pioneer Village. There's Little Hands on the Farm. It's a recreation. You can bring the kids, and they can pet other farm animals. They'll be there live. The Glass House is a beautiful glass house building. There's a lot of eco-friendly, environmentally conscious exhibits inside of there. The DNR, Department of Natural Resources, has their pond where they put these giant fish in there that they claim are in our rivers and lakes. Thank goodness, I guess I've never seen some of them, but it's fascinating to get up close and see those as well.
Oh, wow. And so you're also the host of Curious Mix, which airs tonight at 8 and Sunday afternoons. You're going to be spending a lot of time at a popular place at the fair with Curious Mix. Where are you going to be hanging out?
The Dairy Bar.
Of course.
Me and my bars, I guess. I don't know. I go from wine to milk and ice cream, but I'm a huge dairy fan too. And this is the American Dairy Association of Indiana. It's iconic. This is where you get the milkshakes and the grilled cheese sandwich. And every year they have a competition. And they have people compete, the milk producers of Indiana compete to have the chosen milkshake and also the grilled cheese. So this year, the featured milkshake is the caramel coffee milkshake, which they claim is perfect for breakfast. But I think any state fair food is perfect for breakfast. I don't think it matters.
Or lunch or dinner.
Exactly. This is a great one. And then the specialty grilled cheese this year is the Hoosier Heartland Hash. These are two hash brown patties grilled, and inside of them are Munster, pepper jack, cheddar, and Swiss cheeses.
Oh, my gosh.
So
it just seems like too much almost.
Yeah. They're also offering a throwback Thursday deal at the Dairy Bar this year. On the two Thursdays of the fair, they're bringing back two of the best grilled cheese sandwiches from the past. If you were a fan of the Blue Moo, which is blue cheese on sourdough, that's one Thursday. And the Mousetrap, that was a real specialty, maybe a couple of years ago, I think. It was Havarti, cheddar, and Colby on Texas toast. So people love that. So why not do a story about it? And that's exactly what we're going to do for Curious Mix. We're going to go and spend several days with Michelle Plummer, who is with the American Dairy Association of Indiana, and see what she does behind the scenes with all of her volunteers. Her help are these organizations from all over the state. They're 4-H groups, they're Boy Scout groups, they're people that have been doing it for dozens of years. They give their time, they earn money, and then that goes back to help them and help their organizations. And she runs that place like a fine-tuned, you know, watch. I mean, it is, because they're open every day of the fair.
Yeah.
So we're going to go behind the scenes. I'm going to go behind the scenes and spend a couple of days with them. We're also going to do a Facebook segment from the Dairy Bar as well. So you'll be looking for that next week. We'll be posting that on the WFII page.
Have you gotten a sneak preview? Have you gotten to taste anything yet? Have you gotten to taste the shake or the sandwich?
No. We're hoping we'll be doing that on Monday for sure.
I just got
the word on what it was. So two favorites. Very affordable, and it's a great way. Once again, you know, the State Fair, it's all about celebrating the art and culture of Indiana, which our art and culture is very agricultural based, and everything that we see, wear, touch, smell, all starts from the earth, from the land here in our state. It's a great way to celebrate it.
Arts and culture reporter, host of Curious Mix. Again, catch it tonight at 8 here on 90.1 WFYI. Jill Dittmeyer, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Matt. See you at the fair.
And, you know, with all that good stuff happening, I'll probably have to take her up on that. The Indiana State Fair starts tomorrow and runs through the 18th. Thanks to all our guests this hour, Sharon Smith, Director of Communications for the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Fair Food Vending Matriarch Cheryl Reese. It was fun to talk to her. All the great 4-H'ers. Jessica Chapman from our EVA project. Heather Tallman from Indiana Grown. And a big, big thanks to Jill Sheridan for heading to the fairgrounds to report and for filling in over the next 2 weeks while I take paternity leave. My wife expects, or at least hopes, to go into labor at any moment. You'll be in great hands with Jill. And next week, she'll be doing a show on a number of efforts in Indiana to help expunge and seal criminal records to give past offenders in Indiana a second chance. That'll be a live conversation with Indiana Public Broadcasting reporter Barbara Brozier, with an appearance from Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry. Tune in Tuesday at 1 p.m. for that. I'm Matt Pelser. This is All In.